in. And one day we'll be able to sing like Scott when we get to heaven. That was great. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 20, and you know that song is so great and so powerful in the way Scott presented it, but we think of that. Jesus should change our lives. This morning I got a special phone call at 4:23. Not all calls at 4:23 are special. I got a phone call, and one of the last churches we started in Uganda was a group of people that were overtaken with witchcraft and a lot of things that were just very negative in their culture. Excuse me, did not think that was going to happen. Those people called me this morning to wish me a happy Easter. And you think of that, the people, why is missions conference so important? It's because people like that don't have a chance unless you give, unless you go. It's why our young people have to surrender to go, because there's villages like that that are waiting to hear the gospel. And when I got that phone call, and I thought about it, and I was listening, and of course we were only there 14, 15 years, but I thought of what a blessing it is to know the truth of salvation, to know that he is resurrected from the dead. And we have such hope being here as Christians this morning. In that particular church, there's folks who were of other religions, and they were saved in the last 2 years of our ministry in Uganda. And you know, one of the things that so excites them about the Lord is the fact that they worshiped in bondage. They worshiped gods that could not hear. Their leaders were buried a long time ago. And one of the things they always told us at Easter was, and I can't do it the way they say it, but they'd say, "Pasta, he is alive. He is alive." And you know, this morning, he is alive. And we have a great privilege to have a Bible, to sit here and read, and to understand the truth. And the simple message this morning is the man who missed the first Easter service. Now, the fact of the matter is, you haven't missed this Easter service in 2022. But I would like us to take just a few minutes and look at the man who missed the first Easter service. Can anybody tell me who it is? Thomas. And you know, so many times in our lives today, can't we all be a little bit like Thomas? In this passage of Scripture in John 20, in verse 19, as Brother Scott read, this same day at evening, we notice a few things about this passage. And I just, for young people taking notes, we're going to see the arrival of Jesus at this first Easter service in verse 19. We're going to see the absence of Thomas in verse 24. We're going to see the appearance of Thomas and Jesus' compassion in verses 25 through 27. And then we're going to finish with Thomas's answer to Jesus, which should be the answer of all of us in this room. You see, the arrival of Jesus at this first Easter service, if you think about there in verse 19, then the same day at evening. And so very specifically, this was the first Easter Sunday morning. The arrival had to occur before sunset, for the sunset would have made it Monday and not Sunday. So some gospel accounts have the arrival near mealtime, and you'll just notice this throughout the gospels as you study this passage out. We see the moment of his arrival was Easter night, and we see the miracle in the arrival was when the doors were shut. You notice in verse 19, where were shut, where the disciples were assembled, came Jesus and stood in the midst. So you see, it was a sudden arrival. My mother used to love scary movies. And one of the things that my wife and my mom used to do is get together and they would scare themselves. They would watch movies and then be totally scared. And we were watching a movie the other day and it was scary, and Mandy just screamed right in the middle of the movie. And that scared me, you know. When she screams, I wanted to scream, but that wouldn't be manly, so I didn't. But I can remember she was startled, and she said, "I startle easily." You know, in this passage, if you look in Mark, these disciples supposed that they had seen a spirit. So it was something that I think was shocking to them. And you remember the two men to Emmaus were here. We can put together the Gospels and see it wasn't just the disciples here in this room. But I want you to see the mood at this arrival was for fear of the Jews. You notice in verse 19. The disciples were not in a happy mood, but in a very fearful mood. The crucifixion had caused them to fear what the religious leaders might do unto them. We see the message at the arrival. Notice what Jesus says, and we're going to move quickly here this morning. But at the end of verse 19, he saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And if I could remind any of us this morning, perhaps they were ashamed at what they had done. They had sat there and said, you know, we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to go in the right way. And yet they all had feared and they had all faltered. Perhaps today in 2022, you've come to a place where you've feared a bit. You've faltered. Maybe we could even say we are in the disciples' place here, and as was just sung, but when we see Jesus, it changed everything. And surely in these people's lives, when they saw Jesus, these were the men who went out and who were martyred for their faith. You know why? Because Jesus made all the difference in their life. We notice he showed unto them his hands and his side, and then we see their reaction. You know, the proof was there. I showed you my hands and my side, and we look, and then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You know what happens when we see Jesus? There's an excitement. There should always be an excitement in our churches. One of the things that I loved about East Africa was the fact that people would get so excited about serving the Lord and about being at church. Well, we see the arrival of Jesus. He changes things. And this morning, Jesus should change. No matter what issue you've had coming into this day, can I remind you that Jesus is still the answer? Jesus can still provide great peace that passes all understanding. When my grandfather passed away yesterday, we just had a moment. I was talking to my uncle, and I was in my garage, and just spread some tears, knowing that my grandfather had a lot of things about his life, but he had one thing that was very special that my dad told me many times. He said, "Jeremy, I think he was probably the best soul winner I'd ever met." You know, today, what would I want to be said about me? I would hope that I would be able to point people to Jesus Christ. Can I remind you tonight, one of the greatest privileges we have, and you'll notice in this passage, these men left this meeting and were great harbingers of the gospel. They were people that took the gospel everywhere. But we see the absence of Thomas at this first Easter service. Notice in verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Well, why did Thomas miss? I think there are a couple reasons Thomas could have missed this service. Number one, perhaps he was discouraged. Perhaps Thomas had this problem with unbelief. And why was Thomas not there at this important time when Jesus came? Well, Thomas had doubt in his heart. And Thomas, in fact, you know, you look at Thomas, sometimes we're hard on him. We always say, well, if I say Thomas, what's the thing you say before Thomas's name? Doubting. Everybody knows it. Doubting Thomas. It's even in our things in our dictionary. You can look at doubting Thomas. But you know, in John chapter 11, Thomas was the one who said, "I'll die for you." It tells me this. We can be very committed. We can be very committed people. And then one thing happens and our faith falters. You know, but by the grace of God, any one of us in this room, now Jesus is faith. Jesus never falters from us. Aren't we thankful for that? But there are times we can be weak in faith. And perhaps this morning there's something in your life that has caused you to be weak in faith. I want to remind you this morning that Thomas was in a situation where he had looked at it and said, "There's only one way, and it's Christ." And perhaps he thought, "And now he's dead. What do I do?" My cousin, I'll see her next week at the funeral. Many of you know Brittany Watley. Brittany adopted a baby. Now, Brittany lived with us for 4 years, and she's like the sister I never had, is what I tell her. And her and I were talking yesterday, and one of the things about Brittany is she's always had a compassionate heart. And Brittany had a situation where a year and a half ago, she was able to adopt a baby named Everett. And they call her Evie for short. Beautiful baby, but at 9 months, she still only weighed 11 pounds. She has SMA, which is a muscular atrophy, spinal muscular atrophy in type 2. And so there's only one way Evie will ever walk, will ever live very long. And it's by getting a medicine called Zolgisma. And if you look it up on the internet, you'll see it's for 10 milliliters, it's $2.1 million for one dose. But one dose to Evie makes all the difference. One dose to her is going to give her decades of life potentially. And so the insurance company paid it. And so Evie is on her way to having a life that she would not have been able to have before this medication. And I look at her and I can't wait to hold her next week. But I look at her and as I've been praying for her over the last few months, I think, you know what? What's so great about Easter? It's the fact that Jesus Christ, the gospel, died and was buried and rose again, and he is the only payment for our sins. You see, it comes from one time when you and I look to Jesus Christ and say, "God, I haven't lived a perfect life. I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you to pay my sin debt and to take me to heaven when I die." And one moment in time of faith in Jesus Christ alone is what takes us to heaven 1 second past death. I have hope today because I think of my grandfather being in heaven. In this first Easter service, I'm certain he's enjoying being around the throne of God. And when I think of Thomas, that faith was lacking. And we see he had discouragement. He had doubt. What did this cause in his life? A loss of his testimony. Even today, his testimony is what? Being a doubter. Loss of faith, loss of joy. But when we look at him, I hope we'll look at ourselves and say, is there some part of faith that I am not coming to God with, and I'm not looking at him and saying, and I don't mean for salvation, but I mean in everyday walk of life, are we walking by faith and not by sight? As far as the other disciples knew, Thomas was just like Judas. They didn't know why he wasn't there. They just knew he wasn't there. And you see, Thomas lost his testimony, and he cast his lot in with Judas. And perhaps people looked at him and said, yeah, he's no longer a believer. However, they probably looked at him and said, whose side is he on now? And I would ask you today, can you be convicted of being a Christian by the way we walk, by the way we act, by the way we go to work? Do we have those semblances of being a Christian? You see, Thomas's unbelief caused him to miss many blessings. He missed peace. The Bible says that peace be unto you in John 19, 20 and 21. Four things that begin with a P, or five things. He missed peace when Jesus said, peace be unto you. Isn't peace important in our lives? Isn't peace something that you want? Well, for 8 days now, after he has this first meeting that he misses, now he goes 8 days without the peace that all the other disciples had. Why did he not have peace? Because he didn't have proof. Let me ask you this morning. Do you always have to have God prove things to you, or can you have faith in what God can do? He missed the proof of the facts. You see, Christ showed unto them his hands and his side at the first appearance to the disciples, which Thomas missed in that first Easter service. You see, sometimes by staying away from the house of God, we'll miss out on the proofs God gives us that he's real, that he wants to help us, that he wants to use us. He missed peace. He missed the proof of the facts. He missed the pleasure of gladness. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord? I notice he missed the purpose of being a sent one. You notice Jesus said, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you. And so no matter what branch of the government you work in this week, understand you're the only ambassador that Christ has in some of your government organizations, or perhaps in your plumbing agency, or as an electrician. You're the only Jesus that people will ever see. And so I ask you, do people look at us as a doubting Thomas? Or do they look at us as someone who says, that's someone who walks with Christ? You see, we see that he missed his purpose, but then he missed his power. Jesus gave the disciples power when he said unto them, hey, look, now you can go and you can tell people about the remission of sins. He missed the power of God. You know, today, perhaps we're missing the power of God because we're not being in full alignment and we're doubting as Thomas did. Why did he doubt? He said, except I shall see in his hands, verse 25, the print of the nails. He was stubborn. We see the stubbornness of his unbelief. We see the source of his unbelief. Notice what he says. I will not, in verse 25. That's a strong statement, isn't it? I will not. He said, except I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe, in verse 25. You know, today it takes a point where we believe in Christ. I see not only did the arrival of Jesus, the absence of Thomas, but we see the appearance of Thomas and the appearance of Christ. And notice for 8 days he had to look, and all the other disciples were like, we saw Jesus. And Thomas is like, yeah, I didn't get to see him. I missed it. Can I remind you today that when we don't follow the Lord, there are blessings that we're going to miss. We notice the manner of his coming. Notice Thomas was there the second time in this service. And so God always has compassion. He always has grace to say, listen, I want you to come back to me. And so he looks at Thomas and notice the doors were shut again. Jesus appears the second time and says, peace be unto you, in verses 26 and 27. And then he looks at Thomas and said, with great compassion, I think, hey, I know what you think in your heart. And the fact of the matter is this morning, Christ knows what you feel about him in your heart. And Christ looked at Thomas with all compassion and says, now I'm here. I have this new body. And I want you to see what Jesus said to him. Reach hither thy finger. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And then he says this in verse 27, be not faithless, but believing. Can I just remind us this morning of the blessing to not be faithless, but be believing? Look at, fourthly, Thomas's great answer and profession to Jesus. It was a personal profession. Notice in verse 28, my Lord and my God. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. You know what it reminds me of? Number one, every one of us has to come to a point where we say, My Lord and my God. Now, I don't just mean in salvation, accepting Christ as his atonement for our sins. But I mean now, do we accept him and say, God, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm going to do. Today, maybe it's something at work. Everyone else is doing the wrong thing, and you realize I have a decision to make. I've got to follow Christ. I look here, and Thomas's great answer was personal. My God, my Lord. It was public. It was in front of the other disciples. You see, Thomas made this profession of faith in public. But then I want you to see Jesus points to us in 2022, and he asks us what our profession is. Jesus saith unto them in verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I have that underlined and starred and marked in my Bible. Hey, he's talking to us. Easter of 2022. Hey, Thomas, I know you had to see my hands. You had to see my side. But you know what? Everyone in 2022, we haven't seen Jesus. We haven't seen all these things. He said, blessed are you in 2022 because you haven't seen and you have believed. He goes on to say in verse 30, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. It says he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs in Acts 1:3. You see, what was the purpose that Jesus was trying to get him to understand? It was in verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You know, God doesn't want you just to have life in his name. He wants you this Easter to also share the gospel with others to have life in Jesus' name. Many of you might know the name the Duke of Wellington. Duke of Wellington had a fierce battle at Waterloo in the 1800s, you remember. He came into battle, and you remember there was a battle going on for 23 years during that time. And some of you know what a semaphore is. It's on a boat, and they have it in different places. They even have some in Leesburg, where back in the day they would signal with the flashing of lights, and it would signal each letter about what was going on in the battle. And so this was a little bit before telegraphs, and they would use Morse code to do the letters with. And a ship would come, basically. Wellington, the British general, was engaged in this battle, and the English people were watching for some signal of the battle, how it was going. Of course, they had no telephone or telegraph, but they waited in the harbor of Great Britain. And a ship would come and signal from the bay what was happening in the battle. And so they saw the ship come into the harbor, and they saw the man take the semaphore and began to flash out a message. The message came letter by letter. The first word was Wellington. And they all said, it's going to be about Duke Wellington. The next word was the word defeated, and the hearts of the people of Great Britain sank all across the shore. Wellington has been defeated, they said. At that very moment, a thick fog enshrouded the harbor so that they could no longer send a message, and everyone had given up hope. Wellington has been defeated, they thought. The British crown is now at stake, and their hearts were gloomy and dark. And then the fog gradually began to lift. And when it did, they started sending a signal again. Wellington defeated the army at Waterloo. And all of Britain shouted for joy as it was a message that Wellington was defeated. As it said, Wellington defeated the enemy. You see, the fact of the matter is this. Thomas saw only one part of the message. He saw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And his heart was broken. And yet Jesus, as he died on that cross, and surely Thomas was standing there, and he said, it is finished. And Thomas looked at it and said, it's finished for me too. He didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And perhaps today, you didn't understand what Jesus is saying. But can I tell you what Jesus was saying? Jesus wasn't saying Jesus is defeated. For those 3 days, and we look at the 3 days, he was there and he was in that tomb. Yet we realize the demons of hell were cheering, saying, Jesus is defeated. Jesus is defeated. Yet he wasn't defeated. It was Jesus defeated the enemy at Calvary. And that's why we can look today and say Jesus lives and reigns forevermore. You see, this Easter is a special Easter. He says, blessed are you when you haven't seen, but you've believed. Let me ask you this. How is your faith? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we go to a moment of prayer and Brother Brandon comes, you might be in the service today and you might be thinking, you know, I have never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. We want to give you an opportunity. No one will come to you, but maybe just by an upraised hand, you'd be there and you'd say, Pastor Jeremy, would you just pray for me? I'm not sure if I died right now, if I would go to heaven, but this Easter, I would like to know. And no one's going to come to you, but perhaps you could come during this invitation, or at least by an upslipped hand, I could be able to pray for you. You say, Jeremy, I'm not sure if I died today, I would go to heaven, but I would like to know. Would you just slip your hand up? Just put it up and put it right back down. Just slip it up and put it right back down. Okay, you might be here this morning and you say, Jeremy, there's some things in my life that this Easter I've been a little bit faithless with, and I haven't had the faith that I should, and I want to change that this Easter. I want to renew some things in my heart, and I want to have that faithful attitude. And there's some things I need to change at work. There's some things I need to change in my personal life, but by God's grace, I want to have that faith. Would you just slip your hand up? Just put your hand up, put it right back down. I see those. I see those. Yes, many hands. Yes, you may put them up, put them right back down. As Brother Brandon leads us in a song, let us all stand to our feet. Perhaps you want to come this morning and just commit some things to the Lord. As Brother Brandon leads us, sorry.